This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Resource Center. I'm Angeline Tay. Peer-to-peer lending has become the hottest industries in fintech, and it has reached our shores. Today, we have Nikki Kinloch, CEO at SimplyGiving.com, a social crowdfunding platform that has worked with over 500 nonprofit organizations and social enterprises in 20 countries across Asia. And with Nikki today, we look at the global fundraising trend and what exactly is social lending and microfinancing, and also if Malaysia is ready for it.
So I'm Nikki Kinloch. I'm the CEO of Simply Giving. We are the largest fundraising platform in Asia Pacific. And I am here in Malaysia visiting my team. So I have a team in three different countries, Singapore, Malaysia and Hong Kong.
Yeah. So what led you to, you know, this path of a career?
Well, I used to be in banking, and now I've spent the last 6 years or so in fundraising. So it's really good at dinner parties because now people want to talk to me. So I came across an opportunity to launch another company in a few countries. And my background is setting up and launching different countries in different markets. So for me, it's a very humbling experience. Throughout this journey, I have met the most amazing charities, fundraisers and donors. And you meet different people every day trying to do better for society. And I very much enjoy that. It's fascinating.
Yeah, we're talking about the global fundraising trends today. Yeah. So do you have any sort of insights for us?
Yeah, look, we've seen a big evolution in fundraising trends. We used to see a lot more from direct donations and regular giving. So historically in the past, people used to sign up and then donate regularly for one charity every single month. We've now seen an evolution of that to more of a fundraising activity, such as sports activities or marathons or even high energy events, such like triathlons or people like Tough Mudder, where you're going out and doing assault courses. So it's been interesting evolution. People are looking at more exciting and different ways that they can raise money for good causes and charities.
And also there's a trend of moving online as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've seen that grow dramatically. I mean, we are an online company. Mm-hmm. So from our perspective, this is what we live and breathe. And we've seen that grow significantly over the last 5 or 6 years, and it still continues to grow. Historically, in the old days, charities used to get their funds by either standing outside and shaking a tin, or having people knock on your door and ask you to sign a check. Now that still does happen, and that's a large part of business. But we've also seen a growth across onto online as well. It's easier for charities to amplify their message. Mm-hmm. They can share and reach a larger audience. We have 6 currencies on our platform, so it enables people to donate to fundraising pages from all around the world. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, our reach is global, which is something you can't get from the old-fashioned methods of fundraising.
And plus, people spending more time online too.
Absolutely. I mean, it's particularly in Asia, you know, app usage and things like WhatsApp and different other technologies are huge. Mm-hmm. Here, you know, Asia is the forefront of digital technology. So people are always on their phones. And we know that when someone wants to make a donation to either a charity or someone's fundraising page, it needs to be quick, it needs to be simple, and it needs to take less than a minute. Otherwise, we've lost them, and they're thinking about something else, or they're reading a SMS or answering an email. Mm. So it does make it easier for us to reach people all the time, but we need to make sure that we are good in our processes and the ability to enable people to do what they need to do quickly. Mm-hmm. And then move on.
Right. Where does Malaysia stand when it comes to like the trends of fundraising?
Well, Malaysia is really interesting, actually. So every year, CAF, which is the charity AIDS Foundation, they have a World Giving Index. And I think it's been around for about 8 years now. And Malaysia is ranked 10th this year. So 10th out of all of the countries in the world.
Wow.
From a World Giving perspective. So that's based on voluntary time and donations and fundraising activities. Apart from Myanmar, which is number one, Malaysia is the only country inside the top 10 that sits in Asia. So Malaysia is, we could say, almost leading the way.
Yeah. We're a giving country.
Exactly. So, and I was at a Tech for Good conference the other day, and I was talking about that, and it's quite surprising because those stats make sense to me, but a lot of people in Malaysia were saying, really? I didn't think we were that generous.
Yeah.
So people seem to be surprised that they're more generous than they think they are. So.
Now, we also want to talk about social lending and microfinancing today. I just can't wrap my head around it. Like, what's the difference between social lending and microfinancing?
Well, microfinancing institutes are basically financial services institutes that can provide some form of income or a loan, if you like, to small businesses that wouldn't, on the other hand, achieve a loan from a bank. Okay, so they go above and beyond to provide these loans and funds to these institutions. The institutions then do have a time frame that they need to pay them back, but it allows them to be able to get a cash flow and some funds into their organisation, which previously they may not have had access to. Social enterprises are basically organisations that are looking to fund and support an improvement in the human environment. So a good example would be in Hong Kong, there's an organisation called Soap Cyclers, and they will go around and collect all of the soaps, leftover soaps from hotel rooms, and then they turn that into bars of soap and give that out to people that are less advantaged and don't have soap in other countries. There are a huge amount of different social enterprises that are looking to do good for the community. And we have, in the last 6 months, launched that as a function on our site because we really want to explore how we can help do better in the community. So it's very exciting. It's very new. I think we've got, at the moment, we've just got on board 19 different social enterprises.
In 10
in Malaysia. So we're looking to start funding for those activities. They're very different. There's a huge range of them, and you can find those on our website. But for us, it's about going above and beyond the traditional charity fundraising into organisations that are looking to give back into the community.
Now, why do you feel that simplygiving.com is, you know, coming into the equation to help social enterprises with, you know, social lending, microfinancing?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of great social enterprises out there already doing good, and there are many, many microfinance institutes across Southeast Asia that are helping them do good as well. For us, it was a natural extension of what we already do. For the last 5 or 6 years, we have worked with charities to drive peer-to-peer fundraising, to drive event fundraising and individual donations. So for us, moving from traditional type charities onto social enterprises, it is just a natural movement to broaden our scope, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
So the logistics of bringing a charity on board or bringing a social enterprises on board is similar. They both go through a different process of verification, and then they come on board and they both set up campaigns to be able to fund what they are doing. So the activities are very similar, and so they work well together within our niche of products that we offer to our fundraisers and our donors.
And last year, there was a lot of talk about social entrepreneurs right here in Malaysia.
Yep.
Especially Magic has released a blueprint last year. And then we spoke to a lot of entrepreneurs, social entrepreneurs, and they always say that it's really hard to raise funds with investors. Once you say you're a social enterprise, they sort of put you aside because they don't think the returns are as high.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you look and screen through social entrepreneurs or enterprises to be part of your platform? And how do you gauge the returns whenever you offer financial services to these companies? We'll find out more after this. In the studio, we have Nikki Kinloch, CEO of SimplyGiving.com, and you're listening to Resource Centre, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're still listening to Resource Centre. I'm Angeline Tay. And joining us today, we have Nikki Kinloch, CEO at SimplyGiving.com, which is a social crowdfunding platform that has worked with 550 nonprofit partners and social enterprises in 20 countries across Asia. And just before the break, we were talking about social entrepreneurs often find it hard to look for investors. Mm-hmm. And do you think it's still true today?
Yes, absolutely, to an extent. There are a lot of social enterprises out there doing great things. Because traditional forms of finance, like banks, often don't provide them with funding because they don't meet the bank's criteria, they find it difficult to source funding for their projects as well. So this is where microfinance institutes come in, mm-hmm. And this is also where Simply Giving can come in as well. So we will have a range of different social enterprises and activities on our platform, and then people can donate to them to raise money for them to enable them to take part and enable them to happen. Mm-hmm. So yes, absolutely, that is true. And part of what we're trying to do is look at how we can assist social enterprises, the ones that have obviously gone through a verification process, but we can look at how we can assist them to help raise the funds they are looking to give back to the community and do good for their community.
One thing that I realized about simplygiving.com is that you differentiate yourself with a very transparent and effective way mm-hmm. to support causes. Now, how are you more transparent compared to, you know, other forms of fundraising method?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, we've been around 6 years. We've raised over 13 million ringgit in that time. We work over with, as you said, over 500 charities. And for us, trust and transparency is very, very important. In the same way as that we go through a verification process for the social enterprises, we do that for charities too. So enabling fundraisers and donors to have the confidence that the charities that we have on board are verified and the money is going to the right place is really important. And then also how we work with the charities is very clear as well. So we have a very simple pricing model. We don't charge ongoing fees for charities or social enterprises. For us, it's about looking at how much money we can raise for them. Mm-hmm. So that's very clear and transparent. Anyone that uses our platform is aware with it. You can see it on our platform. Charities and social enterprises agree to our terms and conditions before they come on board as well. So in the same way as both charities and social enterprises should be transparent, we follow the same rules as mm-hmm. well.
How is SimplyGiving.com sustaining themselves? You know, what is the business model?
Oh, it's a very simple model. So we take a small percentage of the funds raised. So that enables us to really, we are a technology for good company. So we need to obviously reinvest the funds that we make into building more technology to help the social enterprises and charities. Technology doesn't stand still. That's one of our USPs. We can go to market by talking to charities and saying, look, we're always evolving our products and our offerings. You know, new apps come on all the time, new technology. Being mobile responsive is very important nowadays. So we invest the small funds that we receive from the percentage from the charities back into developing good technology.
Like I mentioned earlier, you've worked with 550 nonprofit partners, social enterprises in 20 countries. That's a lot of organizations, and it's across 6 years.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, that's how many we have on the moment. We also work with clubs in some countries as well. For us, it's very important to offer our services to as many organizations as possible, yeah. Big or small. We don't mind the size of the charity we work with. Obviously, we work with some of the big brands like World Vision and WWF. But then we also work with small local community organisations too. The power of the community is very important, and we've seen a rise in community giving across the platform in the last 2 or 3 years. So it doesn't really matter what size they are, as long as they're a verified charity or social enterprise, we can work with them.
Was there a specific campaign that's close to your heart or no?
Yeah, we've had a couple of really good ones. In fact, we've got some exciting ones coming up at the moment. So we've got the Soroptimist International Club of Damansara, who are doing a Cycling for Cycles event. So really, they are looking to do a cycling event to raise money for bikes for less than fortunate people. And there's really no rules or regulations about that. We've had people do picnics or abstain from chocolate for a month, you know. But, you know, there are very different and ingenious ways that we can work with fundraisers and charities to raise more money.
And I'm sure not all campaigns are usually successful in fundraising on the platform. So what are the lessons that companies, organizations can learn from what you've seen, you know, in the last 6 years at Simply Giving?
I think the call to action to the donor or the fundraiser needs to be very clear. So what are you trying to raise and why are you trying to raise it? Updates are very important as well. So if it's a longer campaign, for example, rather than an event, over the period of the campaign, providing updates to donors and fundraisers so they know how the campaign's tracking is very important as well. And social media. I can't say enough about the power of social media. A lot of charities still prefer to use direct mail, which is a good way to get to a donor base. But moving forward, they've got to start thinking about how they integrate with Facebook and Twitter, because really they are the ways that people use now to communicate with their family and friends. Mm-hmm. And network giving, so giving across your network to people you know, it is a growing trend. So I would say make sure that you have the ability to be socially enabled. And if you can't do it every day, then at least do it a couple of times a week. It's a good start.
Yeah. And also I've read that the older generation are more used to donating money, but the younger generation would rather give their time to volunteer. So there's actually different different kind of consumer behavior, if, you know.
That's right, that yes. And companies as well. So a lot of companies that we work with have CSR programs, and they do a combination of donating time and money. It depends on the charity. Some charities do ask for volunteers, particularly if they've got an event coming up. But generally, we know that charities prefer to receive the funds so that they can channel those in the best way that they know how as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that combination will change. It'll always be time and money. Mm-hmm. And putting those both together, we can help make charities reach their goals and move forward in what they're looking to do as well.
And where do you think we're heading as, you know, as Asia as a whole when it comes to fundraising?
Yeah, I've been fortunate to spend a lot of time in Asia. Each country is very different. How countries embrace fundraising and fundraising activities ranges greatly. What I'm seeing is that there's a move forward from offline donations onto online donations, and also a change in the age group as well. So we're seeing more younger generations becoming interested in social entrepreneurship and giving back to society that perhaps in the last 5 or 10 years wasn't the case. So that's very exciting, because there are more people here wanting to do good and realizing that as well as their work that they're doing, they can take some time to give back to their local community or to another community that's less well advantaged. So I think that's an important trend, and I hope it continues, because, you know, we all live in a very material society nowadays, and to be able to take the time, you know, whether it's once a month or once a year, to give back to causes that are true to your heart is important.
Now, how can entrepreneurs find more information or help simplygiving.com?
Well, any inquiries, they can come to us. So you can look up, we've got a couple of contact email addresses on simplygiving.com. Indeed, if you're a company that wants to start fundraising or a CSR program, we can talk to you as well.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That was Nikki Kinlogg, CEO at simplygiving.com. And you've been listening to Resource Center. And I'm Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.